Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to think about it in depth. We pray that you would bless this study and all of these studies that we are doing. We pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into the truth of Scripture ever deeper, that you would expand our minds and help us to understand what your word is. Enlarge our hearts, Lord, and help us to love your word, to love the scriptures more. We pray, Lord, that you would grow our faith. Help us, Father, to believe your word, to put our trust and our confidence in it fully and completely. And now, Lord, we pray to this end that you would bless this study tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I spent some time today looking at a list of what one publishing company called the 100 greatest books in the history of the world. And there were lots of books on it that you'd probably recognize. Maybe some you haven't read, but you'd recognize. You'd recognize books like War and Peace, The Three Musketeers, and works of literature like that. What makes the Bible different from all of the books on that list? Why do we come every Wednesday and every Sunday and spend 30 to 45 minutes studying, pondering, thinking about this book? Why, hopefully, do we spend the rest of the week, Monday through Saturday, reading it, thinking about it, and asking ourselves questions about how to apply it to our lives, to our behavior, to what we believe, and to how we live? The answer to that is very simple, and it is that the Bible is the Word of God. And so this is what we are talking about in our studies in the doctrine of Scripture. We began with revelation. That is, how does God make himself known? And we talked about how he does that in creation and how he does that in a special way to apostles and prophets. And then all of that is inscripturated or written down in what we have in the Bible. And so we went from our first heading, our first topic in the doctrine of Scripture, which was revelation. And last week we began our second topic, which is inspiration. Inspiration deals with how the Bible is this. How is it that we have a book written by men or through human instruments that is yet the pure, unadulterated, unique, unparalleled Word of God? Answer, the doctrine of inspiration. And so that's what we are thinking about now in these studies. And this is a big topic. There's a lot to talk about under this heading. So we're going to deal with a number of different areas as it relates to inspiration. Last week we started with defining it. And we said basically that inspiration was defined as God supernaturally controlling and moving the writers of Scripture so that what they wrote was not the mere words of men, but was the very Word of God. So that when Moses took pen to paper, so to speak, or Peter or Paul wrote out their letters, what they wrote, even though they wrote it, was not their word, was not their doctrine, it was God's word. It was teaching coming straight from God to us through those human instruments. And so that's what we began with last time, was a definition of inspiration. We're going to move on in the course of the study to talk about extent. To what extent is the Bible inspired? That is to say, how much of it's inspired? Is it just certain parts? Is it Psalms and Proverbs, but not First Chronicles? Or are the spiritual parts of the Bible inspired and those things should be followed, but not when the Bible talks about history or scientific matters or things like that? So we're going to get to that, not tonight, but we will get to that topic and talk about the extent of the inspiration of Scripture. And then we'll also talk about process. Exactly how did God bring about a book that is His Word and do so through human instruments like the prophets and apostles? So we'll go there as well. So tonight what we're doing is we are looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what we want to do in thinking about inspiration is we want to look at two main biblical texts that give us the basis for saying that the Bible is the very Word of God. And our first one is 2 Timothy 3:16. And that's the one that we started to look at last time. And tonight we will go back to that and try to finish our study of that. So that's number one. And then the next one that we'll look at next time I have the opportunity is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. These are the two primary texts in the New Testament about the inspiration of Scripture. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that these are the only two places in the Bible where you get the idea that the Bible is the Word of God. It's not that. We're going to look at these two for starters as the basis, kind of like the foundation, and then we're going to go to all different kinds of places in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to see that the Bible is the pure Word of God. So we're just starting here. This is our starting point in these two texts. So let's go back tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's read it together one more time. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, as I said, we began to study this passage last time. And just to recap a little bit, Paul is here teaching Timothy to go to the Scriptures, to go to the Word of God. Things are going to get worse around you. Evil men are going to grow worse and worse. But Timothy, you continue in what you have learned. Verse 14, but continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of. What is that? What is it that Paul is telling Timothy he has learned and must continue in? Verse 15, and that from a child you have known the what? The Holy Scriptures. Timothy, go back to the Bible. Go back to the Word of God and continue in that. And then comes verse 16 with this statement about the inspiration of Scripture. We also noted last time that what was inspired was Scripture. Now, Scripture there means sacred writings of the Old Testament. So sometimes the question comes up, somebody might say, well, the writers or the prophets or the people of the Old Testament and the New Testament, maybe God inspired them for a certain time, but certainly the writings aren't inspired. But that's not true, is it? Because here we see the Scripture itself says that it's Scripture that is inspired. And that means what has been written down, God's written revelation and in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. We also talked about how Paul's primary reference here is to the Old Testament. When Paul is talking to Timothy and telling him, I know you've been raised and brought up in the Holy Scriptures. You're to continue in those. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God. Paul's original and primary reference is the Old Testament. The Old Testament Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. But we also said that Paul is including within that the New Testament as well. Because we're looking at 2 Timothy 3:16 to tell us about the whole Bible, not just the Old Testament. And we talked about how that is the correct way, or a right way, the right way to look at this passage of Scripture for a number of different reasons. But one of those was that Peter tells us that the writings of Paul are Scripture. They are sacred writings, and he puts them on the same level with Old Testament writings. And we saw that in 2 Peter chapter 3. So this statement that we have here applies to all of Scripture, all of the sacred writings, both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We also noted that it's not portions of Scripture, but it is all Scripture that's given by the inspiration of God. So Scripture as a whole and every individual part of the Bible is given by the inspiration of God. So all of the Bible is inspired, regardless of what part it is, regardless of what it's dealing with, what subject matter it's working with, it's all inspired by God. So this is where we left off last time, and now we want to think about what does Paul mean by this phrase, given by inspiration of God. That's where we want to pick it up tonight. In the Greek language, this phrase, given by inspiration of God, is one word. And it's a big word. It's a compound word. Here's your Greek lesson for tonight. Now, I saved you the actual Greek, okay? So I transliterated it for you from Greek into English, and that's what this big word is up here. Okay, so that phrase that you have in your English Bible, given by inspiration of God, is this one word in the Greek language, and I won't make you pronounce it on Sunday morning for the scripture reading, but I'll do it for you here now. It's theopneustos. Theopneustos. So this is a compound Greek word. It's made up of two different words. So here, in this first part, you see theos. Theos, that's the Greek word for God. Then the second part, this part, is the Greek word neo, which is the word to breathe. Okay, you see the idea here. The idea is Scripture is God breathed, or we might say breathed out by God. That's the idea of this word that's translated given by the inspiration of God. It means that the sacred writings of the Bible are breathed out by God. They are the product of God's exhaling, if you will, of His breath, of His Word. It always makes me think of going outside on a cold day. Right? You go outside on a cold day and you can see your breath. Right? You breathe out there, you exhale, and you can see your breath because of how cold it is outside. You are exhaling, your breath is coming out of your mouth, and it's producing this visible thing you can see in the air. In the Old Testament, interestingly enough, the Word of God and the breath of God go together. Listen to Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. See that connection there between Word of God, breath of God. Okay? So there's the idea behind inspiration here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Now, we'll just touch on this briefly, but the word inspiration, it's not the greatest word in the world to describe 2 Timothy 3:16, because to inspire means to breathe into, right? So if you inspire, you are breathing something into something else. If you expire, you are breathing out something. But we use the word inspiration to refer to the idea that God so moved the writers of Scripture to put down His very word because of the Latin word. It comes from the Latin translation of the New Testament, and it's passed into our common theological vocabulary. Okay? We're not going to end up calling this doctrine the expiration of Scripture, because that just wouldn't work, would it? You'd think the Bible has passed its date and it's gone sour, or the Bible has died, or something like that. So we still call it the inspiration of Scripture, but when you hear that and you think about 2 Timothy 3:16, don't think about breathing into, think about God breathing out and producing something. Because there's a difference. What we are being taught here in 2 Timothy 3:16 is that Scripture has as its source God Himself. That God Himself is the source of Scripture. He is the origin, or the Scripture finds its origin in God Himself. Think about it this way. It's not that men wrote down these things, right? It's not that Moses sat down and wrote his account of the Exodus or something like that, or one of the apostles sat down and wrote out the life of Jesus, and then God took that and made something out of it. Okay? God took that and He blew His divine breath into it and turned it into this great thing that we call the Bible. That's the wrong way to think about it. The right way to think about it is that the reason why the prophets and apostles wrote down what they wrote down is because God had breathed out His revelation. You see the difference. The difference is man produces something and God turns it into something else versus God producing it. He's the author of it. He's the one who created it in the first place. He just uses human instruments to bring it into being. Let me give you a different illustration. So let's say I wrote a book and it wasn't a really good book. Okay, and someone else came along who was much better at English grammar and writing, and they took my book and said, "We're going to make this better." And they revised it, they edited it, they updated it, and they made it into a really good book. Versus someone who is a really good writer producing it himself right off the bat. Okay? So God is the ultimate source. He's the ultimate author of the Bible, of Scripture. Now, why is this important? You say, "Pastor Nick, you made my head hurt when you made me look at that big Greek word on the board. And I think that's highfalutin fancy stuff." Maybe you think that. Maybe you don't. Why do I need to know that, Pastor Nick? Why is it important for me to know that Scripture is breathed out by God? Because it tells you that the Bible is divine. The Bible is God's book. The Bible is God's Word. If you have a conversation with someone in your family, someone you work with, a neighbor, and you bring up the Bible, and you bring it up in such a way as to say, "You have to follow this. You have to believe this. You have to do what the Bible says." Have you ever had that kind of conversation with somebody? And have you ever had that conversation with someone and they didn't accept that? And one of the things they might say is, "But the Bible was just written by men." I've heard that before. Someone has told me that on more than one occasion when I brought them to the Bible and tried to press it on them to say, "This is what you must believe and this is what you must live according to." And their response is, "The Bible's just written by men. Why should I do that?" But you see, the Bible won't let us believe that about it, will it? The Bible says, no, not that the Scriptures were the mere product of human beings, but the Scriptures are from God. They came from God Himself. They're breathed out by God. They are divine. God is the author of Scripture. Now, we're going to talk about this in more detail, but let's just touch on it now. What we don't mean is we don't mean there's no human element in Scripture. Okay? To put it another way, did Moses write the first five books of the Old Testament? Yes, he did. Did Paul write Romans? Yes, he did. Did Peter write 1st and 2nd Peter? Yes, he did. So there is a human element, and there is an aspect to the human authorship of Scripture that we will deal with. But what we are saying when we say the Bible is inspired is that we are saying these human authors were so moved by God, were so controlled, inspired by the divine, by God Himself, so that what they wrote was not just man's word. If I sit down to write something, okay, you could say that's the word of man. It's the word of Nick Smiley. Nick Smiley's the author. He wrote it. But if Peter, as a man, writes under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit, what he writes is not the mere word of Peter. But what is it? It's the very word of God. So that no one could say, oh, that's just what Peter thought. Or that's just what Paul thought. Or that's just what Moses thought. And we know that Moses was primitive. Right? He lived a long time ago. He didn't know everything we know nowadays. No, we can't say that about the Bible. Why? Because the ultimate author, underline ultimate in your mind, the ultimate and primary author of the Bible is God Himself, making the Bible the Word of God and not the mere word of men. Knowing the author of a work determines our response to it. Does it not? If you look out there in the literature rack and you see a book entitled New Testament Greek, and you look at the bottom of the title page to see who the author is, and you see at the bottom of that title page Riley McNeil. I'm just trying to make sure you're awake back there, Riley. You see at the bottom of that front cover, New Testament Greek by Riley McNeil. Now, you might scratch your head a minute. Say, wait a second. I know Riley. Riley doesn't know New Testament Greek. Riley can't write a book on New Testament Greek. And so you might say, well, something's gone wrong. This is a joke. We need to discard this or what have you. But if you look at the bottom of that title page and you see the name of someone who has spent their entire life studying the Greek language, well, now you have a different response to it, right? You know who the author is, you know the legitimacy of the author, and you're going to have a certain response to that book based on who the author is. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, hopefully, but you now know, in case you didn't before, that the book you hold in your hands, the author, is God. God Himself is the author of the book, and that ought to determine our response to it. It ought to provoke love, faith, obedience, and adherence to whatever we find here. Whether it's something we are to believe or something we are to practice, we look to the Bible in all things, loving it, believing it, obeying it. Why? Not because it's man's word, but because it's God's word. You might read a book, for example, and be able to criticize it, be able to sort out the good and the bad, right? Have you ever read a book like that? There's some good things in the book. Like, that's really good. I love that. I like that. I learned from that. And then there's some other things in the book that you say, no, I'm not going there. No, I don't agree with that, or I don't believe that, or I'm not going to do that. So if you read a book on a particular diet, and it says you can't eat M&Ms anymore, you might say, okay, well, you got some good things to learn there, but I'm going to keep my M&Ms. Or we read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, right? And at certain times in our discussion of that book, we have stopped to question Mr. Bunyan. Have we not? We have. And maybe we've said, I don't know if Mr. Bunyan's right on this, or I'm not sure Mr. Bunyan used that scripture properly, or whatever, right? And we critically evaluate, and we separate the good from the bad. Do we do that with the Bible? No, we do not. And why don't we do that? Because it's the Word of God. It's not the mere word of men that we get to pick and choose and decide, hey, I agree with that, I don't agree with this, I'll keep this, I'll throw that part out. No, the Bible is unique. It is the Word of God because of the inspiration of God, and therefore we don't critically evaluate the Bible. Right? Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here most likely, but there are people who do this. There are people that this is how they view the Bible. They look at it as a mere human book, and so they pick and choose. Right? I like this part, don't like that part. I'll believe this, that's fine. I'm not going with this. And there are all sorts of people in the world that that's how they respond to the Bible. But as God's people, we don't respond to the Bible that way. We don't respond by critically evaluating Scripture. No, we respond in humble submission and obedience to the Word of God. We touched on this one earlier, but let's touch on it one more time. This text teaches us that the Bible, the written Word of God, is the very Word of God, and that all of it is the Word of God, not just certain parts of Scripture. Read it again. Let it sink in. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When we get to the extent of inspiration, which I've already stolen my own thunder, you know the extent of inspiration, don't you? Everything. All of it, every part. As a whole, the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and in every single detail, wherever it may be, in any passage, in any book, it's all the Word of God. But some people want to hold on to some idea that the Bible is the Word of God in some sense, and so they chop it up like this. Okay, we got spiritual parts of the Bible, right? How to be saved. How to be right with God. And they might say, yes, that's the Word of God. That's inspired. Morality. Basic right and wrong. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Yes, that's God's Word, that's inspired, it's good, it's right. But what about when we get to this? History. Is the Bible the Word of God when it comes to history? What's the answer there? Yes, it is. Some people don't like that, because they've read too many fancy folks' books who say history didn't happen the way the Bible says it. And they believe them instead of the Bible. And so they want to chop it up. Or, the big one today, science. Is the Bible inspired when it comes to science? Now, to be clear, the Bible's not a scientific textbook. However, if the Bible has something to say about a scientific topic, is it still the Word of God? Is it inspired? Yes, absolutely it is. So some people, they want to chop it up and say, this is true, this is right, and comes from God, but this stuff comes from men in the Bible, and so there might be mistakes in the Bible on history or science. And you might hear that in the world. But that's not true. Why? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture. And as we'll find out, as we go into individual passages of Scripture, we'll see that it's not just matters dealing with spirituality or morality. It's not just things dealing with salvation that are inspired and accurate. It's things that touch upon history. Think about how the Bible touches upon history so very importantly. Did Jesus rise again, literally, historically, from the grave? Yes, absolutely. The Bible records that in detail. Can that account be trusted? Is it the very word of God, even though it deals with history? Yes, it can. Some people say no. We just can't go with that because it doesn't seem reasonable. Or science today. Some people say, they don't put it this way, but this is how they think. We're smart. We can hit switches and lights come on. We're smart because we can look at things under a microscope. And we know that life on Earth evolved over millions and gabillions and trillions of years from some goo somewhere. But the Bible says that God created all things. Who's right? Well, some people want to say, well, you can trust the Bible here, but not here. But again, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So whatever the Bible touches on, whether it's spiritual matters, history, science, whatever it is, it's all the Word of God. And the Word of God is always absolutely true and unfailing. And so we see here in 2 Timothy 3:16, the doctrine of inspiration, that the written revelation of God that we call the Bible comes from God. Its source and origin is God Himself.